You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on The Cooligans, we talk about the return of the Premier League. Everton is in fourth, tied for first. It's so exciting. Arsenal's finally not in last. And top five goals in the CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers, match day 10. We go over them and we flex our fashion muscles a little bit.
That's right. Also, did two Americans take out Manchester United? I think so. And we talked to Paul Areola, men's national team, DC United. He tells us what it was like playing in RFK Stadium. And he tells us what Rooney was really like. Also, we talk about the Weston McKennie thing because we had to. And he takes a shirt off. Oh, my God. That and more today on The Cooligan!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here. And I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice. And I hope you've been having a nice, too.
Yeah, baby! Come on!
Yes, look at this, all right?
Look at that beautiful NASL shirt.
Okay, shout out to Talisman Caps. We're excited about the sport of soccer.
That's okay. Right. It says on your shirt, the sport of the 80s. So yeah, we're making up some lost ground here.
I'll be honest, Alexis, not enough people are talking about it.
No. Well, apparently they mean the 2080s. You feel me?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are The Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show right here on Football Sports Network.
I wonder if it's anything else. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're also The Gulliest.
Okay.
How could I forget that?
Literally, week after week, we always forget that part.
Jeez. So, it was right there on the tip of my tongue. Speaking of the tip of my tongue, Areola's here, everybody. Paul Areola.
Yes, we're excited about today's show because we're going to be joined by DC United forward Paul Areola. You may have seen him as well on the U.S. men's national team, winning a couple trophies out here this summer. Okay, so the resume is only he's going to have to add a second page or make the font smaller. All right,
right.
You're going to have to decide
and if
what
you've
to do.
Always wanted to see him shirtless, I suggest you stick around.
That's right. It is. It's becoming a very weird demand that we're making on this show.
It's in the contract, and they agree to it. So,
don't know why, but whatever. A lot to talk about today. Let's start with some Premier League news. Let's just look at the table real quick because the international break has ended. You know, it's always weird with Premier League because it starts, you have three games, and then all of a sudden, boom. You know, you're back, international break, and you're worried about, you know, some fans are like, I hate this international break. Why are we doing this? But, you know, this is in CONCACAF, we have a very exciting international break.
Yeah, because we tend to like the national team more than the clubs here. In Europe, it's the opposite. You're like, why are you interrupting our club season? And exactly. As far as Arsenal, I'm like, interrupt as much as you want, buddy. It ain't going great.
Hit the pause button on this.
We can use some time to kind of gather our thoughts. So go ahead and hit that pause button. In fact, hit the stop button. You feel me? We'll pick up later.
You know, just record over this. Can we just
We don't need this VHS tape. Get over there. Don't write anything on the label. Look, you must be excited. I'm also excited. We're not in last place anymore. Arsenal's in 16th. But you being an Everton fan, I'm sure you got a lot to gloat about.
Everton, look, this happened last year. I mean, we're looking at the table right now. Manchester United is obviously in first, Chelsea, Liverpool, and then Everton Football Club sandwiched in between Liverpool and Manchester City that are in fifth place. This is, I think, an exciting time, probably a little bit unexpected as for Everton fans. New manager, the former Liverpool manager. Everton fans can't even get past. They're like, I don't care how successful he is. I hate where he came from.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But also, don't you think maybe you're gloating a little too early? We're what, four matches into the season?
Bro, we weren't in last at any point this season, so at least we got something.
You're right, but I feel it might just feel, honestly, it might be a little too early to celebrate, okay? Enjoy the fact that you're in fourth now, but relax. Like, that's why I wasn't in panic mode when we were in last place. People were like, it's a relegation battle. Fam, we're three matches into a 30-plus season. You know, everybody relax. Yeah,
I'm sure that 1-0 victory over Norwich was that really changed everything.
Well, yeah.
Built you, give you that
when
confidence.
We lifted the banner to the rafters. I don't remember feeling like maybe it was a little too early.
So look, but let's talk about Manchester United that are sitting in first place due to obviously goal differential, but with 10 points and their last match, they won 4-1 against Newcastle. The return of Cristiano Ronaldo playing, obviously a lot of people were excited. He got 2 goals.
Some of the fans aren't happy about it, obviously, because of stuff off the field.
Yeah, it's a challenging thing. We were talking about how much Ronaldo would even help this team, and it seems like he's helping the team quite a bit.
Here's where I disagree. I feel like the team is showing reverence to him. I feel like the rest of the squad is purposefully passing to him. And I think the real question becomes, yeah, sure, he's looked good because everyone's trying to force the ball to him and make him look good. And also, look, he's Cristiano Ronaldo. He's still got bunnies. You know what I mean? Like, he still has that ability to hop up above everyone else and score headers. So he looks good. I think the real question becomes, what's going on with Jadon Sancho? Y'all paid 70-something million for this guy, and it doesn't seem to be working out.
Yeah, that's
four matches in. But it ain't looking great.
That's one concern. The Manchester United did lose in Champions League to Young Boys. Okay, the American.
If you don't know, that's the name of the club. It wasn't just a bunch of young kids.
Okay, they put the U8s out there and they defeated Manchester United. We couldn't believe it.
We were just as shocked as y'all were. Those kids apologized. That's how young they were.
They lost this game. Obviously, the red card to Aaron Wan-Bissaka was really what changed the game.
Before we talk about all that, they lost because an American manager put on an American striker who scored the winning goal off of an assist from Jesse Lingard. terrible back pass. Can we talk about that? Two Americans took down the great Manchester United. That's the headline I want to see.
Look, it's just a reminder that we beat them in the Revolutionary War.
Once again, two Americans took down Redcoats? Wow.
And then on top of that, there was the drama with once Ronaldo got taken out of the match, that he was standing in the technical area trying to coach Manchester United. He was basically like, Sir Alex told me I could come here.
Yeah, yeah. Yo, Ole, go get yourself a cup of tea, my guy. I got this.
There was a lot of even former players. Rio Ferdinand was saying like that was, he wasn't happy with that. And if he was the manager, he would have told Cristiano Ronaldo to sit down. So, but
how would you have taken it? How would you have reacted if you were Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
I mean, I think the challenging part is that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is like, a foot shorter than Cristiano Ronaldo. So he's like,
no, guys, look down here. I'm over here. Don't look at him. Look at me.
Look, I mean, even if it's for optics, you have to simply say like, yo, dude, what are you doing here? You're going too far. It's like, but even if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer makes a scene and says like, yo, get out of here, then the media is like, oh, look at what's happening. There's turmoil at Manchester
United. Which I would
love,
to be honest with you. I would absolutely love that. Oh, my God. But here's the problem. I don't know if you saw this. Apparently, none of the players ate dessert because Cristiano Ronaldo didn't. So it seems to me like he seems to be the like de facto leader in the dressing room, and he's kind of the one who all the players are looking at him to say like, well, what's he think? What's he doing? So this does have to be nipped in the bud, which can happen off the pitch. Don't do it on the pitch. You're probably right, where all the cameras are on. Do it where there's no cameras, But first of all, what a terrible way to go out there. You didn't get to have any dessert and you lost. You know what I mean? You should have had the brownie, buddy.
You going to take diet tips from Ronaldo? I don't think so.
I bet you Jordan Peefock had some brownie and some apple crumb. You know what I mean? He also got himself a little dessert in the match with that goal. You feel me? So maybe stop doing what Ronaldo does. Maybe that's probably the best way to go forward. Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Actually, it's us, and it's our Twitch channel.
That's right. You've seen us on Fubo TV. You've listened to us on the podcast. Maybe you've clicked like on one of our personal seductive photos on Instagram.
You know how we love those body pics.
Okay. We know the game, all right? We're not going to...
Anything for likes and views, baby.
Yo, that's what you got to do nowadays. But we're also on Twitch. We live stream every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. or Prem Show. But we do other stuff as well. We do watch-alongs. We interview people. We play FIFA. And we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on there. So join us on Twitch. Hit the follow button. It is free.
That's right. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans or make it easy for yourself and just go to eltwitche.com. That's eltwitche.com. And that'll bring you right to our account. And hit that follow button right now. What you waiting for? Hi, Christian. Our guest is finally here. And what an honor. We get to speak to a captain. Okay.
Okay. Wait, is Captain Morgan joining us?
Right? I got one leg up. You can't see it in this TV angle. But this is absolutely incredible. Let's see. Let's just run through the resume a little bit. Played in MLS. Played in Liga MX. Played in over in Swansea. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. National team? Am I missing anything else?
Okay. Yeah. Won a couple trophies. All right.
You
know, right.
You probably heard his name before. If you are, if you play for the Red Bull, if you're a fan of Red Bull, you really hate hearing this name because he just played against you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, pull over and stop driving and put your hands together for the one, the only, Paul Arriola of DC United, everybody.
Paul, what's up, man?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, buddy?
We're great. Thank you so much for joining us. It's an honor to have you on the show. I mean, first question we have to ask. I mean, you were dealing with injury for a while, and you just some minutes just the other day. How are you feeling? How is it? How does it feel to be back?
Yeah, it feels great to be back. So far it's been an up and down type year as far as injuries. So, you know, anytime I could get back on the field, it's like, oh, it's like a kid. You're like a kid again. You know, you're so excited. And, you know, at this point, I'm just trying to stay healthy and try and gain some form, to finish the season strong.
You just played against the New York Red Bulls. You know, you're getting some minutes in. Do you have... speaking of injuries, I'm injured all the time, but never for anything athletic. You know what I mean? My doctor's like, how'd you hurt your knee? I'm like, that's a good question. I thought you would be able to figure it out. I woke up and it's twice the size and I can't bend it. You know why you hurt yourself. But when you come back, is it a little different? Like when I go get Doritos from the cupboard, sometimes I pause and I was like, well, I don't want to re-injure myself. Let me go slow. Do you do the same thing on the pitch? Or are you at this point, once you're ready to go on the pitch, you're ready to go because you've done all the stuff you needed to do in training?
Yeah, absolutely. When I get onto the field, it's like if I can't give, you know, at least 90% of what I usually give, if I feel I can't help the team, like I'm not going to step on the field, you know. And I think that's the, you know, and obviously there's times to play injured and play through things. But, you know, finishing the summer when the weather's still blazing hot on random days, you know, like those are the days that you don't want to do that. So lately, yeah, like, you know, luckily we had the international break. Unfortunately, I missed the international break with the national team, but it gave me a couple extra weeks to really get back to full health and get ready to roll.
Yeah, and like, let's talk about the national team. These last couple of weeks have been pretty wild. I mean, obviously, very important matches, needed those points. As someone who you know just won the Gold Cup, and then missing these games, what's that feeling like watching when you really, really obviously want to be there?
Yeah, first of all, it's a huge blow, right? It's a huge blow to feel like. You know, you should be there and you should be able to help your team in whatever way it is. It's tough, but at the same time, like, just like everyone else, I'm the national team's, biggest fan, and I support all the guys. Obviously, I know all those guys very, very, closely, and I know how hard it is to be playing in these qualifying games, based on my experience in the past. So, it was difficult because I wasn't able to physically be there. But at the same time, I watched on social media, everyone just freak out about what was going on and the way the games were going. But from the inside and as a player, a part of that group, I think we all know what to expect. And, you know, in qualifying, sometimes there's going to be highs, sometimes there's going to be lows. And if we consider this a low situation for us, and we can only get better from here, then I think we're in great shape. Obviously, leaving, the three games with 5 points, isn't amazing, but it's definitely not the worst thing that could happen to us.
Let me ask you this, because as fans of the men's national team, which we both are, it's a roller coaster.
I assume Paul is as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he plays on the team. So yeah, yeah, you're a fan, but sure, I can't say I also play every once in a while. So we're fans, you're a player. You don't get to be a fan.
I just want to mention real quick, I'm just glad the players on the field are seeing social media freak out. Okay. You're seeing
that's the question
and what I'm going through.
Because we're yanking the wheel each way, depending on how you guys play. Every 10 minutes, it's either we're in the worst situation possible, or we're going to be fine. We went from beating Mexico twice in finals to then, you know, drawing the first two matches. And it looks like of the World Cup qualifying, and it felt to us like the world was crumbling around us. How much of that jarring left to right, you know, worst to the best, to everything's going to be okay, to, oh my God, we're never going to get out of this. How much of that is felt by the players? And don't give me the media speak answer. Be honest. Like, do you guys find a way to keep that out of your brains and just focus on the competition? Or do you feel that from us as well? Because we're all like, it's like we're in an unhealthy relationship with this team, you know?
I think first of all, I think this World Cup qualifying cycle and you know, since 2019, really, there's been a lot more fan engagement, right? And a lot more, I feel, people that are watching U.S. soccer very closely, especially as the sport in the U.S. grows, you know, quickly, you know, every year. And the only thing I could say to that is welcome to CONCACAF. You know, this is what it is. And not only that, but the competition, you know, every team in qualifying, they're good teams, right? They all have their strengths. They all have their weaknesses, just like we do. And, you know, people, you know, just expect us to walk over every team. And in reality, you know, it's not like that in today's soccer world and in CONCACAF and what it's like to play, you know, El Salvador away or Honduras away. You know, those are the games that they feel, that these teams feel like it's their life, right? It's their opportunity to show, you know, the U.S., right, and all the people who are watching, and maybe all the coaches who are watching, this is their opportunity to demonstrate, you know, who they are and why they should be, you know, why some of them maybe should be playing in the MLS or get better opportunities elsewhere.
I was just going to ask, I wonder, what's the CONCACAF, especially when it comes to qualifying these big matches, what's the trash talk like exactly? Because I imagine it's on a different level than pretty much anywhere else in the world. Just that's my impression, because I saw comments from, I think it was Tyler Adams had mentioned, he was talking about Kellen Acosta and what he was doing and seeing, especially during Gold Cup, to try to get, you know, a Qatar, all the trash talk, trying to tell me why you should retire, and then he ended up missing the penalty and all this other stuff. What's it like? What's the dynamic in CONCACAF, especially with some players who don't speak Spanish and are like, what is that like?
Yeah, honestly, it's just a lot of F-bombs, you know, like. There's not really, you know, like, I mean, Kellen Acosta, he's a chirper, man. He'll get into anyone's face for any reason to stir it up. I thought I was bad at one point, but Kellen loves to get in there and get the energy going.
That's like when my mom gets like cut off. She just yells anything with the F word in it. You know what I mean? She doesn't speak English that well, so she's like, no, tú eres fucker you, you know? Like, I don't think that made sense, but I feel like the emotion got across, ma. You
know? the only person that I really didn't even say much to him, because he knows, but Andy Nahar, who plays on Honduras, also plays on my club, on, you know, DC United. And when he came back, I just asked him, hey, what happened, my man? You know, he just kind of like puts his head in the shower, puts some shampoo on, you know, like, I don't know what happened. We seemed like we had it going on, but obviously something changed.
Yeah. He balled that game, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
He was embarrassing some.
I was saying, you ain't doing that at DC. You ain't doing that at DC. Damn, bro. You holding out? Papoose has changed everything, huh?
I want to ask you this as well. Just coming from a player who's played on the national team for a while as a captain, you know, obviously there was a lot of controversy with a player being sent home. You know, as a captain of a team and a national team, what do you think your responsibility is to kind of talk to other players when it comes to kind of things like that, maybe off the field concerns or issues? Like, what responsibility does the captain of a team have in kind of that situation in sort of gathering all the troops?
Yeah, I think every team and every person and every leader is different, you know, and it really just it's really all based on who you're with. You know, like with the national team, obviously there's, especially in today's world, there's specific rules, you know, that they go over to make sure. I mean, even with the club team, you know, there's always rules that you clearly know, you know, what's right and what's wrong. And I think in that instance, I think Weston just made a mistake and that's it. But, everyone knows the type of, person and player and personality and leader that he is. You know, and no problem. I mean, you know, and I think everyone knows that everyone can make mistakes. Sometimes you have to, you know, pay for them. Sometimes you can get away with them a little bit. But yeah, you just kind of move on. Right. And at the end of the day, we're all adults. Well, most of us, most of us are adults. And so, you know, so you for the most part, you kind of know, right or wrong and, yeah, it just kind of depends. I mean, you know, me personally, I'm not gonna really say anything. You know, and my perspective is, you know, if you show up when the whistle blows, until the whistle, you know, finishes the game, you do your job and let's move on from there.
Do you ever feel as when you become, especially, you know, your position on some of these national team selections, you end up becoming the veteran, the elder statesman sometimes, you know, a bit of a leader. You mentioned some of us are adults. Sometimes, you know, Greg Berhalter, I'm like, where's he finding these kids? High school? You know what I mean? That's like, it's you, Sebastian Legend, and a bunch of kids whose moms are driving him to the game. You know what I mean? So what do you feel is your responsibility as a captain? Just because I don't know, I've never been the captain of a team before. For some reason, I've never been picked for a team. You're like, buddy, go get his Gatorades. When you get picked as the captain, do you have those responsibilities off the field? Or as a captain, you're like, nah, that's not my place to say anything. That's coach.
No, you know what? You know, I think a lot of us, like I said, there's leaders on the field. There's leaders off the field. There's people that naturally lead by voice, lead by example. And me personally, I'm more of a lead by example.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just who I am. Yeah. I can get up and, you know, say a speech and get the guys going. But overall, I mean, it's just, it for me, the most important thing is that you show what you're about on the field, right? You lead the right way. You show your team, you know, in certain situations, you're the guy that's fighting. You're the guy that's really getting into it. Other times you're the guy that's, you know, going with a bunch of energy, talking to the referee, different things like that. But, you know, on the national team, it's a special thing to be able to captain the team. And obviously Greg has passed around the armband, a few times, which, you know, I have no problem with that. I think it's great to be able to give the confidence to different guys, because I mean, you know, whenever you get the captain's band for club or country, you know, it's unreal, right? It gives you this confidence booster, to help you go out there and again, remind you that you're not just playing for yourself. You know, you're leading your team, you're leading your country, you might be leading your club. And yeah, I mean, it's just awesome.
Yeah, I'd let it go right to my head. I'd be like, ankle socks. We playing in ankle socks. Everybody cut your socks.
It's an interesting dynamic because obviously the pressure is obviously there in pretty much any match when it comes to the national team. But then there's also the expectation of seeing where all of our players are playing all over the world. And it's just like everybody's, ego. Everybody's like, yo, this is our time. And it, one thing I do love, and even though it's unfortunate, even the situation with Weston, on a public, on a level, just the, you know, people that they're talking about him in Italy, like, what is, like, even is he a diva of, I'm like, they're talking about American players, like, I'm like, this is great. Like, this
yo, we made it. we made it. We on TMZ in Italy? Let's go.
We're doing it, okay? So, Paul, I want to talk about DC United a little bit, and just, you know, it was a kind of a rough start to the year, but it looks like the team is really kind of rallying together. Can you talk a little bit about your new coach, Hernando Sada? And just the kind of the vision he's brought to the club and how it's affecting the team.
Yeah, Hernan is a great coach, you know, to us and for us, and you know, he's come in with a philosophy which I think all of us have, you know, knew that at some point for our club to get back to you know the golden days and being successful is. You know, in today's world, for the most part, you know, you need to be able to have a system, especially when you're not going to fill your team with, you know, 20 superstars. And so, you know, he's been able to kind of transform us into this pressing team, you know, a different dynamic type team in the MLS, which is exciting for us. You know, obviously, I think there's there's a lot to improve on still. From a club perspective, on the field, off the field perspective, and I think we're slowly getting there collectively, which is important. And two, you know, this year I think at the start of the year, everyone you know kind of said, well, there's no expectations, you know, no one really expects us to do much, you know, especially based on last year, especially based on the years after, you know, we lost Rooney, we lost Lucho Costa, we brought in some guys last year. You know, in our COVID year that, you know, we just didn't really perform well. And so this year with a new coach, everyone kind of dropped the ball on us and said, well, you know, we'll see where they finish. And, you know, if they do well, they do well. Yeah. For us, that's great. You know, the less pressure,
sure.
You know, the less pressure at times is better for a team collectively. And that's kind of where we're at the moment, right? Like, you know, we went over the review of the odds to win MLS Cup, right? And we're not on, you know, I think it's like the top 10 or top 12 teams. You know, for us, that's fine. You know,
yeah, like, yeah.
What's the problem with being an underdog? What's the problem with going into games where no one's really expecting you to stay in the playoffs? And if you win, it's a plus. And if not, well, then no one expected it. So for us, it's kind of been an interesting mentality in that way. We obviously go into games thinking we're going to win every game, right? We press and we think we press so hard at times. We think we're going to, you know, pick the ball off four times and score, you know, and then we end up maybe winning a game 1-0 off a penalty kick, you know, like it's just, you know, it's just so crazy. And, you know, we've had Ola Kamara, who's scoring a lot of goals for us this year, who's obviously, when you're scoring, you know, 13 goals and you know, you're going to score more, you know, hopefully your team is going to be somewhat successful if you got a guy like that. And then some of us are showing up in certain games and making differences in those, which is also important. So for us, yeah, it's been great. Like I said, I think there's still a ways to go for us. But overall, we're just going, man. We're just playing every game. Obviously we've had a lot of injuries, so it's kind of next man mentality at the moment.
Yeah.
But you know, I hope at some point we'll get everyone healthy, and we'll all be able to, step on the field and have a full roster.
Right. I know I saw Hernan recently passed his driving test. Something like that. He was very excited about it. Very adorable how happy he was.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I guess he gets to save on Ubers. But
maybe he'll stop riding his bike to training. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was something he passed his, like, I think written test, and he was like super excited. He's like, I can drive. And it's like, no, you got to do the actual driving test.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. only with another person in the car are you allowed to drive. You have a cool story. When you got to DC United, you were like the big signing. I think your first match was RFK's last game, right?
No, it was that year. It was that year.
Okay.
Your first goal was that.
My first goal was the last one. Yeah, my first game, it was actually a looking back on it and being a part of DC United and RFK days and all that, like my first game back was, or my first game with DC, I had gotten in like on a Thursday night, we had a Saturday game or something like that, Wednesday, Friday, I don't know, something like that. And we get out onto the field, you know, Ben Olsen, the coach at the time, is like, yeah, you know, you're fit. We're going to start you. We need you. All right, cool. So I get out onto the field. We're playing against Salt Lake. We get going and it's okay, you know, like nothing special. It's like the 16th minute and there's lightning or thunder in the area. So we got to postpone the game. We get inside and all of a sudden it just starts raining like out of nowhere. So they're like, all right, we're going to postpone the game. Well, 40 minutes later, we're still postponed. And they're like, okay, well, in about 20 minutes, we're going to try and go back out there and play. And someone's like, dude, look at the tunnel to get out there. Like you walk out of the locker room and it's literally just filled with water all the way.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, like, does anyone have a raft or anything to get us out there? Because there's no other way that you're going to get out to the field with this water in here, you know? So everyone was just like, yeah, welcome to RFK, buddy. Like, you're going to get rained out. Like
even
that.
The raccoons were swimming.
Yeah,
in the
water. Like, this is how we do it, the breaststroke.
This is nice.
They were the ones supplying the rafts. So
yeah. You got to walk on the raccoons. The reason I ask is we have our own supporters group called Gully Squad. They're our supporters. And they asked about, like, do you have any Rooney stories? And I also just want to talk about, like, when you get there, you're the big signing, and then all of a sudden this Rooney guy shows up. You know, what was that moment like? As a player, are you happy when those moments happen? Or are you like, man, I was top billing, you know? Like, that's like when we are comedians, we get bumped by a bigger comic. We're like, oh, now you're excited Chappelle's here? You know, before you were excited I was here.
No, for me, it was great. It was great, actually. Yeah, I mean, I'm never a guy to take, you know, the glam and all of that stuff. Right. I'm more than happy. You know, and I'm a pretty humble guy to kind of just be there to help the team do my job, in whatever way that is. If I end up as a superstar because I excel, then great. If, you know, I have to do the dirty work, I got to do it. So, you know, when Wayne goes to, when we hear Wayne potentially is going to be on the team, right? Like, again, we're in the RFK days and we're like, dude, that guy's going to be in here, like, with us, you know, like with the raccoons, there's no way this guy's going to come in here. And like, and sure enough, he freaking walks in, you know, he landed in Dulles, the airport. And then he goes and does like this, like, I think it was like a small tour or something like that, like set up like for him to walk around, I don't know where. And you're watching videos and this guy's like, he's just packed with like everyone, you know, everyone's out to see this guy. And it's like, oh my God, like Rooney has arrived. Right. And he gets into the locker room and he's just so humble, dude. It's unreal. Like and I always say that he's unreal. Like as amazing as he was as a player, as a person, as a teammate, he was great. He was just one of the guys, really. Like, I mean, well, you know, we'd play cards, we'd, you know, hang out. He loved to like get in once we got to the hotel. He loved to like just take off his clothes and get in a robe and his like hotel slippers. You know, and it's like, we're going to like his room to play cards, and here he is.
You're like, we're in the lobby, like, Rooney. Wait till you get in the room, buddy.
Yeah, nah,
too comfy.
He was unreal. He was amazing. And then obviously when he did the things on the field, you know, it's just like this is incredible.
Okay. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank you. That was MJ Lee. Thank you for the question. I just one quick thing that I just want. This is from a DC United supporter, Val Paschal. She asked this question. She said, "What's the most inspirational thing you've heard coming from Bill Hamid? Or is someone else the inspirational dude in the locker room?"
Oh, that's a good question.
I imagine if it came from Bill, it's probably loud as well, the inspiration.
Yeah. If it's coming from Bill, yeah, it's definitely loud. It's probably a lot of banging and something's probably broken. I'd probably say, there's a lot of guys that are chirping, you know, like we're just all little birds just chirping, dude, in the locker room. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Let's go, you know, everyone's getting hyped up. Usually it's Hernan or Fred, Steve, myself, Fred Briant, Steve Birnbaum, myself. It's just a lot of guys, right? There's a lot of hard middle class workers in that locker room. So we're
that's
all just
right. Blue collar.
That's right. We're all just trying to get each other going.
Yeah, you're all punching in, punching out with your lunch boxes and your hard hats.
And we've had Kevin Paredes on this show. I always love giving him a shout out. Another Dominicano playing in Major League Soccer. I'm sure there's a bunch of trash talk even there. Like, you know, as far as just a Dominican excelling, Greg Berhalter talking about him to such a high degree. I'm sure there's a bunch of banter there as well, having a Dominican in the locker room.
No, man, Kevin's American. I don't know what you're talking about. He'll play for the U.S., no problem.
Absolutely. Okay. As long as he picks reggaeton on the aux cable, we don't care what team he plays all right. for.
Paul, thank you so much for joining us, man. An absolute honor getting to chat with you. We have a couple pieces of business before we let you go. We have to get to our Golazo gift. This is your opportunity to celebrate a goal that we will turn into a gift. It will live on the internet forever. Alexis will give you a scenario. So, Alexis, feel free to let him know what do you suggest?
Oh, this is, man, there's so many things that I could say. All right. So let's say you're about to score a goal with DC United. This is MLS Cup. And for some reason you were told beforehand that if you score this goal, you will go back to being the captain of the men's national team. And you just love it so much. So you score this beautiful. It's a rebound, too. It bounces off just like Landon Donovan's versus Algeria. Almost the exact same goal. You score. How do you celebrate getting that captain's armband back?
Oh, man. All right. You want me to do it, or you want me to explain what I'm doing?
You could explain you it. You could do it. You could do both.
Whatever. If it needs any, you know, explanation, feel free to do that.
But right. If you have props.
First of all, the scenario is like, it's like a 10 out of 10, you know, like you can't like, I thought you were going to say like, I was going to win the lottery or something. This is like better than winning the lottery, man.
It's like a very reasonable thing. Oh, you know what? You'll get the captain's armband for life the rest of your career. You will be known as the most captained U.S. men's national team player.
Oh, man. Oh, shoot. All right. It goes in, tap in, boom. And then you're just like.
And you know what? And I love it. And I also love the shirt itself said, I can't believe you doubted me, which is even better.
That is perfect. Also, are you wear a knit sweatshirt with nothing underneath it? You don't put a wife beater on or nothing? You go raw dog?
Yeah, you're sweating
all day?
Dude, honestly, man, I just, you know, we had a game before. We got a game coming up. I took a nap. I'm like, oh God, I got to get going. Here I go. Like, it's like 68 degrees in my house. I'm like, man, I'm a little chilly, even though it's like 90 degrees outside.
Amazing.
I guess when you have that many muscles, you don't get itchy from the knit. You feel me? Maybe that's my problem.
It could just be lack of style or something. I don't know.
Paul, amazing, man. Thank you so much for doing that. Is there anything you want to let people know about? Anything you want to plug before we let you go?
Yeah, just if you guys want to follow my social media accounts, most of it is at Paul Arriola. Pretty simple. My last name. Arriola, not Areola. Too many jokes with the nipples.
Right, sure, look at that. You know, kept it highbrow. We didn't even make that joke today. Right. Look at that.
Even though you showed us your Paul Areolas, we didn't make a joke about it.
I'm sorry. I'm actually starting to embrace it now that I'm getting older. Everyone's stressing me out, giving me gray hairs. I'm just like, yeah, I'll take the like all my fantasy football names this year all involve nipples. So.
Nice.
That's what I'm about, I guess, these days, you know.
Okay, very cool. You know, yeah, lean into the brand, Paul. That's it's right. All good. Right. Can't wait to see the logos. Anyway. thank you again. Absolutely honored. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck the rest of the season at DC and
And hope to obviously see you back on the men's national team real soon. Okay, everybody, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social platforms. And make sure you follow at Fubo Sports as well. And subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for more clips and full episodes of the show. All right, Paul, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So please join us in doing this. So for Paul Arriola, my name is Cristian Polanco.
That's right. I am Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!